we're talking about these objects that come out of the blue, clear sky. What are they? Scientists, investigators in Italy, as their counterparts in the U.S. and around the world have done, are trying to figure this out. And there have been some remarkable cases that my guest, Roberto Pinotti, has investigated over the years, including UFOs that appear over nuclear arsenals at NATO bases, as well as some pretty dramatic incidents captured on film and video. In a moment, we'll continue our conversation about the Vatican Observatory and the Vatican's general interest in the subject, the Church's tolerant, open attitude toward UFOs and ETs. And I wonder if Roberto knows what might else be in the Vatican files. We'll be right back and go to the phone lines coming up in this hour with your calls and questions and comments as well. As we were just discussing, the Vatican has an observatory in the state of Arizona. And Roberto, you were just telling us about some interaction with the Vatican over that observatory and how it operates.
Exactly. You see, Jesuits, since the 19th century, were always considered skilled astronomers. In fact, Father Sacchi, Father Armellini, Father Cassini, consider that the Saturn probe was given his name, are all skilled astronomers. And more recently, Specola Vaticana, that is the Astronomical Observatory of the Vatican, is operating in the United States in Arizona. And they have binocular advanced telescope, and very curiously, the acronym of this instrument is very curious, because now I don't remember the total of the words involved, but it is the acronym is Lucifer, because it's light interferometer and so on.
Lucifer, you say Lucifer? It's Lucifer?
Of,
yeah.
Of course, you understand.
Yes.
apart from this, Specola Vaticana has a director, and one of his recent directors was an American Jesuit, Father Coyne, who was known as a believer in extraterrestrial life, of course. Later, we had Father Funes, an Argentinian astrophysicist, who, after having been nominated head of the Specola Vaticana, had an interview with Osservatore Romano, which is the official newspaper of the Vatican. And everybody remembers his interview, because he said, literally, "The extraterrestrials are our brothers." What does it mean? Simply that Father Funes said that it is quite impossible that in the future we will not meet other advanced intelligence in the universe. And that when this will happen, we will have to consider them our cosmic brothers. This is very interesting. But consider that even our UFO organization in Italy, CUN, Centro Ufologico Nazionale, was requested to have a lecture inside the Vatican. And the Italian newspapers mentioned this. Of course, it was just a normal lecture, but it is important that it was requested. Besides, we have also to consider that even Pope Francis had a very curious approach to extraterrestrials. In fact, in one of his open talks, said, "If, for example, tomorrow an expedition of Martians came, and some of them came to us here," and everybody wondered and said, "But what is the Pope saying?" And he smiled and said, "Martians, right? Green, with that long nose and big ears, just like children paint them." And one says, "But I want to be baptized. What would happen?" And he said, "No, nothing more." But of course, you understand that it is a very good way to propose a problem. And really, he did it. Consider that the next director of Specula Vaticana, Father Guy Consolmagno, which is an American after all, then wrote a very curious book, and the title is "Would You Baptize an Extraterrestrial?" This means, in other words, that the Vatican is quite open to the idea of extraterrestrial life and also to the UFO problem. Consider that they even translated into Latin, the official language of the Vatican, the term UFO, which in Latin is res inexplicata volantes, that is, unexplained flying object. So, of course, we cannot conclude something different from the fact that really the Vatican seems to prepare the future in this field. After all, it is not too strange to consider that in the Middle Ages we had the Cardinal Cusano from Cusa, who said even in that period that surely the universe has to be inhabited. And don't forget that in spite of the fact that he was considered at that time, of course, an heretic, but Giordano Bruno, who was born on a stake in 1600, well, he said that surely the universe is inhabited by superior intelligence everywhere, and that the superior intelligence may be compared like we compare us to animals. Yeah. So imagine, of course, this is a very heavy position.
Yeah, very controversial, enough to get him burned at the stake. Let me ask you this, Roberto. You know, a lot of people wonder about what else might be in the Vatican files, in the archives. I ask this question because I know when I first started pursuing this subject, I got a letter from the Vatican asking me to send them a recording of the stories we had done in 1989. In 1990, they wrote to me and asked for me to send it. And I'm just wondering if they, on a routine basis, collect this information from around the world and what else might be there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget that, after all, if you compare the Christian Catholic Church to an intelligent to an intelligence organization, well, surely they have the best intelligence organization in the world, because if it is just a question of collecting data, they can have data from all over the world, you understand? And surely Vatican Archives have also information of this kind, having to do with UFOs and from everywhere.
There are several questions I'd like to ask, but we have some folks hanging on the phone line, so I think I'll take a couple of calls, and then I'll come back and raise some subjects about the current research. So we'll go east of the Rockies, Doug in New Jersey. Hi, Doug. You're on with Dr. Roberto Pinotti.
Yes, good evening. How are you tonight? And good evening, Roberto. Very pleasure to talk to you. I was going to ask you if there's a – have you found any correlation in the sightings in Italy – compared to United States, such as around military bases, nuclear installments, airports, things of that nature? Has there been an increased sighting in those areas as there is here in the United States?
Yes, I have to confirm that even in Italy, we have a sort of monitoring of military bases by UFOs. There are a lot of cases of this kind. And consider that in Italy, we have also American bases, NATO bases, and they are very important from a strategical point of view. So there is nothing to be amazed, after all. Yes, I have simply to confirm all this. It's one world, absolutely.
Thank you, Doug. Roberto, so there is a, in your book, you mention about a nuclear base in Italy. Is it known that there are nuclear weapons at this NATO base?
Yes, of course, but it's normal. Italy is a NATO country, and as such, of course, we have atomic bombs here. Of course, we are not the owners of these bombs,
right.
You understand.
Yeah. We'll take another call on the wild card.
In case of a war, of course, we would have to use them.
Yes. On the wild card line, Michael in Virginia. Good morning, Michael. You're on with Roberto.
Hello, Roberto from Virginia Beach. Thank you for coming on the show. You mentioned several dates that are especially interesting to anyone who tries to compare UFO study with major political developments in the world. You mentioned 1929. That was the year that Mussolini concluded the Lateran Treaty, recognizing the Vatican as a separate sovereign state. Then you mentioned 1933, which George already mentioned, was the year that Hitler became chancellor in January of that year. You didn't mention July of 1933. That was the year, that was the month in which Hitler concluded with the Vatican a concordat which promised that Catholic seminarians would carry guns and fight for Germany. That was kept secret until Allied forces took it out of the German chancellor when we overran Berlin. Now, you also mentioned 1954. 1954 was the year when a group met at the Vatican to form what was called the Club of Rome.
Michael, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Roberto doesn't work for the Vatican. He's a UFO researcher. So
I understand what he is saying.
Okay.
Well, consider that there may be also some other kind of involvements of the Vatican. For instance, you know the story that President Eisenhower would have had a meeting with aliens in the United States Air Force of Edwards in California in 1964. Presently, this story supported by his grand nephew, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, too. Well, what is interesting that in that proposed meeting, also the the future Cardinal McIntyre would have been present as a member of the Catholic Church, and he would have later reported all the story to Pope Pius XII. So, if this is true, you understand that the Vatican is extremely informed about all this. About the consideration I heard before, 1933, Hitler and so on. Well, of course, I agree with the fact that UFO presence may be linked also to political events. Consider, for instance, a very curious thing. In 1954, we had a tremendous world wave of UFO sightings in that year. Rome was haunted by UFOs. Even the American ambassador in Italy, in Rome, Claire Boat Hughes, saw one of them directly. And in that year, in on November the 6th, a group of UFOs was seen in the broad daylight over the Vatican, and in particular the St. Peter's Basilica. There were 40 different UFOs in two V-shaped formations, which coming from the opposite sides of the sky, united and formed a gigantic 40 UFOs formation over the St. Peter's Basilica. Then they, of course, continued their movements and left. But what is interesting is why this kind of manifestation over the most important Catholic basilica. What does it mean? What has this to do with the symbol of the cross? Well, the cross is obviously the symbol of Christianity, but it's also the symbol of peace. Don't forget this. Consider that the Red Cross has exactly a Greek cross symbol. And a couple of days later, the same phenomenon took place in the southern part of England, and even British radars spotted this. There were three different formations. The first one was a sort of horse heel shaped formation. The second one was very similar to parallels. And the third one was something like a Z. Well, one of the pioneers of Italian ufology, Consul Alberto Perego, he was an Italian diplomat, later made some consideration about this and said, my God, but, well, consider that the first formation was a sort of horse heel, but it's just a U. And what does U mean? Well, it is the chemical symbol for uranium. That is, this may mean the atomic energy or the atomic bombs. Two parallels in mathematics simply means equal. And the Z means Z, the last letter of the alphabet, which is associated to the concept of end. So this is sort of a possible message, meaning atomic bombs may mean your end. If this is true, well, not only politics here on Earth may be monitored by UFOs, but sometimes probably someone is trying to tell us certain concepts, positive ones, I think.
Yeah, that's a pretty dramatic message there. Michael, I appreciate the call. I just interrupted because I didn't want Roberto to be responsible for everything that the Vatican has done in its history. And he's not here as a representative of the Vatican. He's a ufologist from Italy who was asked about the Vatican. So thanks for that call. We'll go back to the phones in a moment. We're talking with Dr. Roberto Pinotti about his book, UFO Contacts in Italy, Volume 2. Some amazing cases, well documented, thoroughly investigated, a lot of photos and documents, and these cases parallel similar developments here in the U.S. I think you'd be really interested if you're a serious student of ufology. In a moment, we go back to the phones and take some of your calls and comments and questions. Our final segment with my guest, Roberto Pinotti, we go to the wildcard line, Mary in Los Angeles. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
I was reading the Bible because it's Sunday today, and the book of Ezekiel describes a creature that has wheels for like feet that go up and down, and then they talk about God, I mean like the creator and zapping and everything. And I'm like, is there a fuzzy line between people like in the Vatican that are accepting of UFOs and probably aliens and actual alien situations? I mean, was that history being documented in the Bible in Ezekiel, the first two pages?
Roberto, do you have an opinion on how literally we should take the verses in the Bible that refer to what we might call UFO-type incidents?
Well, surely, you see, if we accept the idea of extraterrestrial beings coming to Earth, of course, we may find the traces of this also in the past. And why not in works like, for instance, the Indian Veda, or even the Holy Bible? If we read the same Holy Bible, we may find different references to UFOs. Consider that in the United States in 1955, the first author to indicate this was Morris Jessup, for instance. And surely we may agree with him. The Bible is an historical book, not only a religious book. So many informations were really confirmed by different kinds of evidence. And why not to compare the chariots of the angels, for instance, to today's UFOs? Consider that, besides, the same role of angels may be seen in a different way, in the sense that, of course, angels are superior beings, but you know that Dionysius, the Areopagite, gives us a wide spectrum of different kind of angels. There are spiritual angels, but also angels very, very similar to man. In fact, you should remember that in the sixth paragraph of Genesis, there is the mention of angels who mated with earth human, and their spring was the so-called Nephilim, that is the first monarchs of in the Middle East. In other words, if this is true, this means that our concepts of about angels could have to be seen in different ways, you understand? I personally, I am open to this, you understand? Besides, consider that probably we have to do with different kinds of aliens. So why excluding that also different kinds of angels may be comparable to this?
Mary, thank you for the call. We're going to go to Michael in Hollywood. Good morning, Michael. Michael, are you there? Hello?
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing, Michael? You're on the air. What's on your mind? Oh, he's gone. Okay. Roberto, I want to ask you, talk a little bit about TTSA. Tom DeLonge, Lou Elizondo came to Italy, I think it was last year. You know, they remain controversial, but they've helped change things in this country in regard to public attitudes and government attitudes. Yeah.
Yes, they were very interested in having a public conference in Italy, because they said that having this in Rome was very important, because this could also mean to speak to Europe, to the Vatican, and also to Russia, after all. And, well, this this Congress was a success, and well, frankly, I don't know if we or they were the hosts. I don't. But in any case, it was a positive thing. It was a good opportunity to say certain things. They said more or less the same things they said in the United States, and nothing particularly new, but it was very impressive.
And was there some kind of a meeting at that time with the Italian Air Force officials as well? I think I remember reading that.
Well, we had a briefing before this Congress, and we discussed a lot. This briefing had to last, was supposed to last for 1 hour. Really, more or less 3 hours was the result, the final result. No, the problem is that we discussed with Elizondo, DeLonge, and all and the other people, they were with him, about different Italian cases, also with some Italian experts and former military officers, you understand. And, well, Elizondo was very impressed about this, but after all, as I told you before, Italy is really full of stories, impressive stories about UFOs. Our problem is that not always all this is known abroad. But as I told you, it's one word. UFO phenomena are all the same. Are the same everywhere.
Yeah. Some of the most interesting sections of your book, UFO Contacts in Italy, dealt with Russia and information from Russia. And as I'm going through the book, there's a photo of someone that I met in 1993, General Savin. I made a trip to Moscow in 1993 and came back a couple of years later to interact with the Russians about the UFO subject. And General Savin was very gracious and open and wanted contacts with the West. And I wanted to know if you met him personally or if you interacted with him personally.
Yeah, you see, the Russian are quite open to the UFO subject. Consider that, for instance, we had also their former premier, Dmitry Medvedev, who made a very strange statement, you know the story, in which he said that really the Russian premier is informed about UFOs in Russia and all the possible situation by Russian intelligence. General Savin is considered the head of what we call the remote viewers of Russia.
Right.
You know that the remote viewers are also in the United States, of course, so nothing strange. Well, Savin says that they had developed also mental contacts with aliens, but probably you know that there is also some American remote viewer who said the same thing, so nothing particularly strange. Well, it's hard to judge certain statements. What is interesting is that the Russians are quite open to this problem. Besides, it seems that during the last months of the Gorbachev government, the attempt of a formal meeting with aliens took place in a Russian base, a Soviet base, in Central Asia. But it failed because the protocols the aliens would have given to the Russians were not going to be respected by the Russian military. So, this event was a fiasco. But of course, I think it's not too good to try to trick the aliens.
Yeah, well, Gorbachev was gone. By the time I got there, it was Yeltsin, whose science advisors were interested in the subject. KGB had an interest as well. And I think that the Russian military was trying to study UFOs to figure out the technology, just as the U.S. military has been doing.
Absolutely, yes. You see, today, UFOs are seen and considered as something very useful for new technologies, in order to obtain new technologies. And this is interesting for the United States, for Russia, and also for China. Consider that in 2018, there was also a Chinese initiative in order to involve the United Nations for the recognition of the importance of UFO phenomena. Of course, the commercial war between the United States and China first, and then the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, prevented all this to become a reality. So this initiative failed completely. But this means that the most important powers on Earth are quite interested in UFOs and in the possibility to obtain new technologies from them. Even probably the Arabs may be interested. Even.
Oh, well, you had said earlier in our conversation that you had been asked to provide briefings at the end of your military career, to provide a briefing to other military officers. Does that continue? Are you still asked to consult or provide briefings on occasion to military officials?
Well, not presently. You see, in Italy, we have a curious political situation, very instable. So it's not easy to keep on this presently. But on a personal basis, we have still good relationships with our militaries. Probably in this moment is, you understand, with the pandemic and also with the political situation in Italy is not the best moment.
Yeah, I can relate. One of the things I found interesting in your book is you tell about meeting with the European Parliament and delivering a presentation to them and then them considering a resolution opposing UFO secrecy. That's astonishing.
Yes, three different political representatives, Italian political representatives in the European Parliament tried in different occasions to do this. But frankly, I have to say that the European Parliament did not take any attention to this.
Oh, it didn't pass?
No, absolutely, absolutely.
You also spoke to the House of Lords, which I found amazing.
Yes.
I had never.
It was quite different. It was 1980, and so it was different because the year before, Lord Clancarty had an historical debate in the House of Lords, and in 1978 and 1979, we had the tremendous UFO wave in Italy. So at that. In that year, I was requested by the House of Lords to report about the UFO wave in Italy, and I did it. It was very interesting, and you see, unfortunately, the House of Lords UFO Study Group was not a governative body, but simply a political one. So it had no developments in this sense. You understand?
I see. We've got a couple minutes left. Philip Corso is somebody that I encountered before his book came out in 1997, and I saw that in the list of speakers at one of the conferences that you had sponsored there in San Marino, that Corso came over. Did you get a chance to interact with him, and what do you think about his account?
Well, you know that Corso's book was not completely written by him.
Yes,
Burns,
I know.
Was the third quarter, you understand?
Yes.
So it's hard to say exactly what Corso thought and wrote. But apart from this, we could verify that really Corso had a positive curriculum, in the sense that he was here in Italy in after the end of the war and reorganized the Italian intelligence in the Republic of Italy in the beginning. So, not in the Republic of Italy. It was before the proclamation of the Republic, really. This was done for the Kingdom of Italy at that time. In any case, frankly, I think that Corso says at least a good portion of real and positive things. I don't know the rest, but I may tell you something more. First, I told you that when I was in the 3rd Mysore Brigade in 1971 and 72, I was asked to prepare a lecture for the superior officers of our unit. Okay. What is interesting is that when I was preparing this lecture, two American colleagues, because our unit was with an American unit altogether, came to visit me and asked me, "Are you going to prepare a lecture about UFOs?" "Yes," I said. "Oh, well, what are you going to say?" And I told them what I was going to say, of course. And one of these two colleagues, there was a captain and a lieutenant. The captain told me, smiling, "But do you know that in the States we have the crashed crafts and the bodies of the pilots?" And he said nothing more. Consider that this statement, or this question, if you prefer, was asked me in 1972. This means 7 years before the book by Berlitz and Moore about Roswell.
Before Roswell, yeah. Roberto, we're out of time. Roberto Pernotti, I can't thank you enough. I hope we get a chance that if the world gets back to normal, we get to see each other again in person sometime. The book, UFO Contacts in Italy, Volume 2, is excellent. And thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks also to my earlier guest, Nick Redfern, and his book, Monsters of the Deep. And to my colleagues there at Coast to Coast, Michael Cosio and Donna Walker, our webmaster, Greg Bishop, Dan Galante, and Chris Boros. My name is George Knapp. I'll be back Friday night for a rare Friday night appearance. Good night, everyone.